Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Robert Reed, who is the coordinator for Freedom in Christ, Loosening the Chains of Addiction. Robert, thank you for joining us.
Oh, great to be here.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. This is a unique interview. Normally, I have ministries from the parishes, ACTS groups. I recently had a center that assists pregnant women come in and talk to us about their ministry. But I've never had one come in and talk about addiction. So I'm looking forward to our conversation. Before we get started, though, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I guess basically I should inform you that I'm a former Protestant minister.
Okay.
Many years ago, about 40 years ago now, I had a tragic event happen in my own personal life. And as a result of that, I became angry with God. I blamed God for all the pain and suffering that I was going through. And basically, I just rebelled against God. I walked out on the church. I walked out on God. I walked out on my own family. And I just didn't know what I wanted to do anymore. I just knew I wanted to get away from God. I was angry. I got involved in alcohol and drugs, and my life really just continued to spiral out of control. It was just seemed to be one thing after another. I went to jail a couple times. I was sent to rehab, but none of these things worked, you know. Actually, I was going to the rehab to get a new hookup to where I could get more drugs, you know, meet more people.
I knew more
about drugs.
Networking? Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't quite what they had in mind for me when they sent me to rehab. But I really didn't know how to turn my life around. I tried several different things. And I even remarried and took on a new family. I guess actually what started turning my life around was my wife and her sister started attending a class called The Encounter. I'm sure that you're familiar with here in Corpus Christi. That was at Most Precious Blood. And I started seeing the changes in their lives, you know. And then one day I walked into the bedroom and I saw my wife on her knees praying for me. And that was quite an experience. I began thinking that, you know what, maybe God will forgive me. You know, maybe he will turn my life around. And because I certainly wasn't headed down the right track. And I'd tried everything I knew to try, and nothing was working. So I eventually gave in to my wife. I went to one of the Encounter programs, and I went to a weekend retreat, and there, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just God changed my life. I found out that God still loved me after all that I'd done, you know, and that was difficult for me to accept because I had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, you know, that went along with that addiction. But I guess basically, God started moving in my life, and as he started moving in my life, I began to progress, not as a Protestant, but now as a Catholic, because on Pentecost 2008, I received confirmation.
Congratulations.
I'm thrilled about it. And I was accepted into the Catholic Church. I'm the guy that used to stand in the pulpit. You need to stay away from those people.
happy to hear you're a Catholic now.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's amazing because God's making me eat my words because he used the Catholic Church to bring me back.
There you go.
So yeah. I think that's fantastic. And I think really that God's the only one that hadn't given up on me, but it's good now. It's all good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your wife witnessed to you. You saw her praying, and through her witness and her love for God, she brought you closer to God.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I would encourage every woman out there, don't stop praying for your guy, you know. Don't give up. There's hope.
Well, St. Monica did pray for St. Augustine for 30-something years.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Yes.
And now he's a doctor in the church and a great theologian that we love to learn from. Yeah, but I want to thank you, first of all, for really sharing about yourself, because I can imagine that it's not always easy to humble yourself and say that you made some mistakes in life. And it caused you to turn to addiction. Now, I once heard that people do get addicted to various things because they're trying to fill a gap that only God can fill. What would you say about that?
Well, with this particular program, what we're trying to do is not cure the addiction, but cure the cause of the addiction. Because it's not the alcohol, it's not the drugs, it's the pain and suffering that made people want to use those things. It's when people have pain and suffering, it's just like hitting your thumb with a hammer, you know? You hit your thumb with a hammer, you want to medicate it, you know? You want to put an ice pack on it or whatever. And the same thing is true. When you're suffering through emotional pain and stress and things in your life, you want to medicate that. And unfortunately, people choose alcohol and drugs, pornography, sex addictions, anything to distract them away from the real cause, the real problem. And so as a result of that, people don't realize that God is the true answer.
So then you're saying with addiction and that programs like this actually cause some healing to happen, because that's what you're trying to get to.
Amen. I hope that happens. That's what we're trying for.
So we're not just covering things up, let's say like with a Band-Aid, but we're actually getting to the root cause of the addiction in order to heal that part and break the bonds of addiction.
Absolutely. Because You can't just keep telling people you need to stop. Don't do this. Don't do that. That doesn't work, you know. Wives have been telling their husbands, don't do that anymore. And same with the husband, the wife, the children, the mother, the father. They all say, don't do that. But they don't give them a solution. They don't give them an answer. Mm-hmm. And especially for young people nowadays, their whole thing is why.
Why?
Well, why can I do this? Why can I do that? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a better way, you know.
And what does addiction do to the person? When we're going to take a break in a bit and talk about your 12-step program, but what does addiction do to the person?
Oh, it can be a catastrophe because like in my own life, I said I spiraled out of control, but I mean, I got to the point where I was homeless, you know, because all I cared about was my next fix.
You know, so it took all your resources and all your money and all your time.
But you see, what happens with that is, what do? You take your bill money, your car payment, your utility payment, and you use that to buy drugs. So instead of solving the problem, you're creating more problems. Here you are trying to figure out, okay, let me medicate this and make the situation better. You're not making it better. You're making it worse. So actually it is like a domino effect where you try your resources. You keep trying your way of making things better, and it doesn't get any better at all. And until people realize that there is a loving God who really cares that they're suffering these things, we always say, well, nobody cares, but God cares, you know? And we say that, oh, nobody knows the problems that I've had. God knows, you know, and God cares. And we just have to get to the point where we turn things over to Him and let Him help us through these struggles instead of turning to whatever addiction that we've fallen back on.
What are some of the things that you would say are addictions? You did mention drugs, alcohol, pornography. Is there anything else that you would say is an addiction? Well, maybe workaholics or, I mean, I guess, what is an addiction, let's say? What is the definition of an addiction then?
Well, it's, you remember the saying where you keep doing the same thing over and over again with the same result? You know, it's just, it's when you do something and your life is out of control, you can't help yourself. You do it out of habit. You do it not because you really want it. It's because, well, this is the way I normally do.
This is life now. Yeah. It's become a habit.
I can remember when I was in my addiction, I remember for a while I took on a job in a bar as a bartender. And I would back off and I'd stop doing drugs for a few days. But my dealer would walk into the club and throw something down for me on the bar. He said, here, try it. You know, it's some good stuff. I won't charge you. Because he knew if he could get me started again, I'd be right back to where I was before.
Robert, we're going to take a quick break, and I do look forward to hearing more about how you were able to heal. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and extensively about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter weekend is set for August 16th and 17th. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/family-life. A wedding is one day. A marriage is a lifetime.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Robert Reed, who is the coordinator for Freedom in Christ, Loosening the Chains of Addiction. Robert, before the break, you were telling us about how you were trying your best to get unaddicted or out of the addiction, but people would come into your life that would entice you again to start those bad habits up once more. What did you end up having to do in order to completely get away from the addictions? Did you have to get away from the people that were tempting you? Tell me some of the process that you went through.
Well, it's basically like the 12-step program teaches, that you have to learn to stay away from the people, places, and things that lead to your addiction. There are some people in your life that tend to pull you down. And they tempt you. Just being around them, you have peer pressure from them because they do drugs. So those kind of people you got to learn to stay away from. You got to stop going to the same places where you used to hang out at. You can't hang around. I heard a preacher say one time, you can't wear a beautiful white wedding dress into a coal mine and not expect to come out with some dirt on it. You know, and I find that that's so true. We just got to get away from these people, places, and things. I know that my own my own first love is winning souls to Jesus Christ. And that's why I got into the ministry in the first place 40-some years ago. And I feel bad that I drifted away and I got off track. But God's brought me back to that love. And it's so important that we go out and we try to find that lost sheep and bring them back into the fold. It's so important that we do everything we can to bring them into that fold, into the church, where they can be nurtured, where they can grow and get some strength. It's hard out there. It's a difficult fight. And they need not only the Word of God, not only the spoken Word of God, they need the fellowship of other brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage them, to help them. You can't do this on your own. You can't. And that's why these meetings are so important, because we can fellowship with each other. We can talk about each other's struggles. We can talk about, what encouraged you? What helped you to turn your life around? And we do that with each other all the time. I'm loving to see how God's working. I never thought God would ever use me again. I never thought, as bad as I was, that God would just put his arms around me and start guiding me again and helping me. You know, and I love a verse. There's a verse in Exodus 17 and verse 1, and it says that the children of Israel traveled in stages as the Lord directed, you know. And I love that, because it lets me know, see, God didn't just take the children of Israel and walk them out of bondage straight into the promised land. They wandered around for a while. They struggled for a while, but yet we see that God continued to guide them and direct them, and that's what we're trying to do with this program. We're trying to give them a way for God to direct them and say, okay, look, this wasn't right, but this over here we have a right way for you. Over here we have a way that God will help you, and God will assist you in the struggle and help you to get over it. Now, there's so many different addictions in this day and age, especially with the computer. You know, then we have pornography, and people are using the computer to hook up for various sex addictions. There's so much going on, and then we got the old standards like alcohol, cocaine, crystal meth, marijuana. All these things.
So these are prevalent then. This is out there. People need help.
There are people in the church that are addicted to these things, that are struggling with them. Mm-hmm. And they keep going back to Mass Sunday after Sunday, thinking maybe something will help me, something will help
me. So they're seeking.
They're seeking. They certainly are.
Robert, I'm excited to hear what type of program you do facilitate and coordinate. Can you tell me a little bit about the 12 steps to break any type of addiction?
Well, the first step that we try to point out to people is that they're living a life that has become out of control. It's become unmanageable, and they need to make a change in their life. And once we get people to realize that, hey, wait a minute, my life has become out of control. I can't do this. Then we point out to the fact that on your own, you're powerless. Like me, going to jail and going to rehab, none of those things helped. I was powerless. I kept trying to do what was right, but I kept failing. And so we point out to them, okay, first of all, your life has become unmanageable and you're powerless to do anything about it. But step three, we talk about Jesus Christ has the power to turn anybody's life around, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. In the program that we have, we start out, but the thing, once we do our introductions and everything, we show a video about a selective addiction of the week.
Okay.
And like I say, each week we'll cover a different addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs or a sex addiction or pornography, no matter what it is, something different every week. And once we show that video, then we have what we refer to as discussion time. We'll discuss the struggles of an addiction such as that. We talk about maybe somebody in the class that had that particular addiction that they may mention what they're struggling with. And one thing that we do in our class, we never ask anybody what their addiction is.
I was going to ask about anonymity.
Yeah. In the 12-step program, everybody always stands up and say, "Hi, my name's Robert. I'm an alcoholic."
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that, see, because I always tell them that you never know who in the audience their addiction might be gossip.
Oh, there you go.
So therefore, even though we tell them every class, you know, what's said here has to stay here.
Yes.
There's always a possibility that someone might say something. And since we are a close-knit family within the church, we don't want somebody going to somebody else in the church, "Hey, did you know what so-and-so's got this habit?" You know, we don't want that going on.
So then gossip could be an addiction.
Absolutely.
Or gambling. Yeah. You know, this is just the
absolutely.
Bad habits that people cannot break.
Actually, I got down to a list of 30-some, and I gave up because there's so many different addictions.
So then you mentioned there's an awareness and also humility that we are powerless. We cannot do it on our own. We might try it that way, but we're going to fail.
Absolutely. And that's why in step 3, we point out to the fact that the whole purpose in Jesus Christ coming here to this earth is to save our souls, and not just to save our souls, but to give us a more abundant life.
To set us free.
Yeah, you know, amen. I love Proverbs 29:11, where it says he gives us a future. His plan is a future full of hope,
mm-hmm.
you know. And God doesn't want us to sit around all the time worrying about all of our problems and our situations and making it worse. God wants us to know that he wants us to have a more abundant life. And we need the nurture of the church and the fellowship of other brothers and sisters in Christ. We need an opportunity to help each other. A verse that spoke to my own heart once I had rededicated my life to the Lord was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where Paul talks about that God is the God of all comfort, and you and I are to comfort one another with the same comfort in which we've been comforted. And I want to share with others what God's done for me.
Now, with that, if people do have an addiction, they're struggling, where would you direct them? What would be the first step for them to try to seek some help?
They need to get into a setting where they have other people that have similar addictions, similar problems, that can share with them these struggles. They can contact me through robertcctx@gmail.com, or they can call me on my cell phone, 361-687-6175. I talk to people on the phone all the time trying to direct them which church to go to, someplace near them to help them find a class setting that they can get into.
Robert, I'm so happy that you're working in our parishes and helping people loosen the chains of addiction. I feel that your ministry is just that important. So if you're interested in assisting and helping people loosen the chains of addiction, please contact Robert. We'll give you his information again after Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Words are not always used to say what they mean. An example of this can be found when buying car parts. You can go to the local parts store to buy the more basic parts, such as headlights, oil filters, batteries, and the like. If what you need isn't in stock, you can go to the dealer, always a more expensive option. There are also discount parts houses and places like Walmart and Sears where you can shop. Regardless of where you go, you have the option of buying rebuilt parts or slightly better new parts with a limited 90-day warranty. Best of all is the part with a lifetime warranty, which offers the promise of lasting a lifetime. It sounds so much better than a 90-day warranty, but can it really be? While they do have an expected length of service or function, parts belong to machines. They do not have life in the sense of an animated being with a soul. Webster's Dictionary defines life as that mode of existence which distinguishes organisms from inorganic matter, characterized chiefly by metabolism, growth, and the ability to reproduce and respond to stimuli. Jesus told us that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. This requires the necessity of knowing the difference between abundance and that which is not abundance. Can a car part know such a thing? No, neither does it have any of the characteristics attributed to life. And if it doesn't have life, it can't have a lifetime warranty, for such a warranty is a guarantee that something is what it is said to be, and that the person making the guarantee will back it up. But how can a promise for something that doesn't exist be backed up? This is just one example of words being used in ways that distort their meaning. Satan will try anything to get us to turn away from life with God, to lull us into believing that something here and now is more important than eternity. He'd like nothing better than for us to believe that we need a lifetime warranty. In reality, we already have one. We just need to avail ourselves of it. Jesus tells us that if we believe in him and follow his commands, we will have eternal life. He has made it very clear over and over again. Love one another as I have loved you. Blessed be the peacemakers. Blessed be the meek. Come, follow me. For this reason, he sends the Holy Spirit to empower us through the sacraments. It is there, in the sacraments, that we receive him. It is there that we respond in belief. And it is there that we receive the power to follow him. This is the only guarantee we need, the promise of Christ that eternal life awaits us. He is waiting. He desires for us to be with him. He longs for us to share in his eternal life, and we don't need a warranty to receive it. May Jesus Christ, the Word of God, fill your hearts and your minds with truth. May his Holy Spirit strengthen you and fill you with the wisdom to see through the false promises which call us to turn away from God and toward the hollow words of earthly promises. And may you find a lifetime of hope and joy in the labors of love our Lord has entrusted to you as you seek the promise of eternal life. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Robert Reed, who is the coordinator for Freedom in Christ, a program that helps people lose the chains of addiction. If you would like more information, please call him at 361-687-6175 or email him at robertcctx@gmail.com. I'd like to thank Robert for doing his ministries in the various parishes. And thank you again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.